the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to join us for the next half hour as we bring you another beautiful Christmas song today and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to remind you that there's still time to get that perfect Christmas gift Bible for someone you love. From our whole selection of the Scofield Reference Bibles, the large print, thin line King James Version Bible, which is our newest Bible, and several others. So if you would like to do that, contact us or visit the website, look at your brochure, and decide the Bible for you. Right now, let's hear an instrumental version of Angels We Have Heard on High, and then Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin this important chapter of the book of Acts, I pray, O God, for wisdom. Give to me wisdom, understanding. Fill my heart with the Holy Spirit. Speak through these lips of clay, O God, and help me to rightly divide the word of truth today. And as we study this chapter, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we finished chapter 5 yesterday. We found the disciples preaching in the name of Jesus in every house, in the temple, and all over the countryside. They were preaching Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 6 gives us the account of the first deacons in the church. And in those days, that is, the days when the disciples were preaching Jesus in every house, in the streets, in the temple, and wherever they had an opportunity to witness to a person, the number of the disciples multiplied. Now notice, they are still called disciples. We learn in the book of Acts that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. But until that time, they were called the disciples of Jesus. They were disciples. And the number of the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, that means the Greek widows were neglected And there arose a murmuring between the Jews and the Greeks, or the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, these people are in the church. They're all in the church. There is no nationality in the church of the living God. It is no longer Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, bond or free, slave or slave master. It is sons of God only. That is, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, if you're born again, you are a son of God, and we're all members of the same family, baptized into the body of Christ, the New Testament church, of which Jesus is the head and the foundation. So we are all members of that one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. Now, there should never be murmurings among God's people. And when a church begins to murmur, if something isn't done immediately, you can mark it down, there'll be a division in that church, and that's not pleasing to God. The church should be a place of unity, brotherly love, peace, and each man should esteem the other better than himself, and each man should honor the other as a brother in the Lord Jesus. There should be no jealousy. There should be no murmuring. There should be no division in the church. And when it begins, trouble is just ahead. Now in verse 2, we learn that the disciples, the 12 disciples, called the multitude of disciples together, and it has grown now to a multitude. Of course, there were 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and then 5,000, and then they grew and continued to grow, and now there is a multitude of disciples, and the 12 call the multitude together to discuss the need in the church. Now, I want you to see in the Word of God and by God's grace and by God's help, I hope I can show you what deacons are for, what their ministry is, and I hope I can show some precious people what the duty of a preacher is and what a minister is supposed to do in the church. And if I can get some people to see what a deacon's for and what a deacon is supposed to do and what a minister's for and what a minister's supposed to do, I think some people will change their minds about their preacher. Now, the disciples said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Now, beloved, listen. I have always, ever since God saved me over 32 years ago, ever since the day God called me to preach, I've tried to read this Bible line upon line, verse upon verse, chapter after chapter, and I've tried to preach it exactly like God has laid it down. Now, God called ministers. Well, I tell you, suppose we go over in Ephesians, and let me read to you in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll see what God says in His Word about ministers. Now, we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men. Now, He that ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, that speaks of the death, that is, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Now, watch this very closely. I'm reading Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles, all right, and some prophets, all right, and some evangelists, all right, and some pastors and teachers. Now notice, pastors and teachers. Now notice this. After evangelist, there is a semicolon. He gave some, well, of course, after apostles, there is a semicolon. And after prophets, there is a semicolon. And after evangelist, there is a semicolon. But notice, if you will, pastors and teachers. In other words, it doesn't say pastors, semicolon, and teachers. It puts them together, pastors and teachers. Now, a pastor certainly is an evangelist in a sense. And a pastor certainly is a soul winner. Indeed, he is. But there is a difference between an evangelist and a pastor and teacher. Now, you don't see pastor evangelist. That's not in the Bible. I mean, that statement is not in the Bible. We do not read, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastor evangelists. No, we don't see that. He gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, the ministry of a pastor is a very, very special ministry. Now, for instance, my business primarily is to evangelize, to stir up the people, and to get people to repent and come to God and be born again. That is my ministry primarily. Of course, I teach. You can't completely separate the evangelist and teaching. Can't do that, because when I read the Word of God, I don't claim to be a teacher. God gives some men the gift of teaching, and they go deep into the Word of God, and God gives men that gift of teaching. I don't have that gift. I don't profess to have it. I don't claim to have it. I'm an evangelist. That's all I am. But to be a pastor, it takes wisdom, it takes grace, it takes understanding, it takes a double portion of God's love, and I could just keep on. A pastor and a teacher is the most noble person upon the face of this earth today, and I believe that. Now, here's what I was going to say. I evangelize, I get them saved, and then I don't have a church. I've never pastored a church. I've never organized a church. I've always been an evangelist, radio minister, tents, churches, city auditoriums, anywhere that I could preach the gospel, courthouses, street corners, chain gang camps, yes, jailhouses, penitentiaries. I preached in all of them. I have. Now, I'm an evangelist. I've never organized church, never been a pastor of a church. So I get them saved, and I always insist that the people who are saved in my meetings join a good Bible church. I always insist that. All right? Now, suppose I get a person saved on the radio today. Suppose somebody listens to me today, and they believe the gospel, and they're born again today listening to the Gospel Hour. Now, if that be true, I insist that you join a church, a good church, a Bible church. And if you don't know a good Bible preaching church, then be sure and go slow and don't join any church until you know that you're joining a Bible church where God's Word is preached. Now, when you join that church, it is the responsibility of that pastor, who is God's under-shepherd, to feed you, to lead you, to protect you, to guide you, to direct you. Now, just a minute. Pastors are God's under-shepherds. Let me see if I can turn right quick, and if you look in Acts chapter 20, and I'm turning, and here it is. Here it is, Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed, be careful. Now he's speaking to God's under shepherds, overseers, God's men that God calls and anoints to be overseers. And they are God's under shepherds. He's the chief shepherd, and the pastors are God's under shepherds. Now then, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now what did he do it for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and so on. Now then, I read that to say in Acts 6, the disciples saw the necessity of electing a group of men to take care of the secondary matters so that the disciples could give their time to the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. Now let me say this, beloved, and I beg you, and I know that I'm speaking to ministers. I know there are ministers. I want to say this. I appreciate the hundreds of ministers who have written to me, and some write often, and I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. I received a letter from a minister just a few weeks ago, one of the most encouraging letters I've ever gotten. the 32 years I've been preaching the gospel, the 27 years I've been on radio. I'll never cease to thank God for the dear ministers who listen to me, and I wouldn't hurt one of God's preachers. I wouldn't hurt one of God's preachers for anything. I wouldn't. I don't want to hurt God's men, and I don't have any mercy on liberals and modernist hirelings. That's what the Bible calls them, hirelings. But God's under shepherds. I wouldn't hurt one. I don't want to hurt one. But let me say this. God didn't call a pastor to your church to ring your doorbells and to pet and pamper and to every time some little something comes up, come run and spend 3 or 4 hours nursing your wounds and trying to pacify some trouble between you and some other church member and to take care of these trivial things that the deacons and somebody else should take care of. Now listen, God's pastor is always ready and always willing to help one of his members. He's always willing. But the number one ministry, the number one job, the number one business of God's preacher is to pray and to minister the word of God and feed the sheep and feed the little lambs. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 21, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. Now listen, don't take me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Jesus said, go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But I want to tell you now that the deacons and the members of the church ought to do the doorbell ringing and the knocking on doors and the walking of the sidewalks. God's man, God's pastor, God's preacher has his hands full, staying in his study on his knees before an open Bible, feeding himself so that he can feed the church of God on Sunday and Wednesday. Beloved, when God's man preaches an hour on Sunday morning and an hour on Sunday night and teaches an hour on Wednesday night, I'll guarantee you it'll take him 40 hours of study to prepare 3 hours of ministry. Now, I guarantee you, no minister, I don't care who he is, God bless you, can pick up the Bible and run in the pulpit and feed the sheep and feed the lambs and feed the saints like they ought to be fed unless he has first fed him himself by spending hours in prayer and the study of the Word of God. I repeat, when God's man preaches on Sunday morning and teaches on Wednesday night and preaches on Sunday night, when God's man stands before the congregation 3 times in a week, I'll guarantee you it'll take 40 hours of study and prayer to get together 3 good meals, good square meals of gospel bread and gospel meat and gospel milk and living water from the Word. Now, what did the disciples say? The disciples said, it is not reason. I'm reading Acts 6:2. It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. It's not reasonable. It's out of reason. It's unreasonable that God's minister should lay the Bible aside and neglect the Word of God and neglect study to ring doorbells and pacify church members and patch up quarrels. God have mercy. The deacons are called of God and ordained of God to take care of the secondary matters, while the ministers of the gospel give their time to the study of the Word and prayer and preaching the Word of God. Now then, so we read on down in verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and all these other fellows. They chose all these men. And they set them before the apostles and prayed and laid their hands on. Now, let me say this. You say, Brother Green, if I turned my community over to my deacons and they visited, did all the visiting, some of my deacons would split my church. Then you should absolutely turn them out of the church now. You should withdraw fellowship from them. Listen, I want to say this. I want to say this to the pastors and to the deacons. Now, it's a grave and a weighty responsibility to be a pastor. It's grave. It's weighty. It's important. But if a pastor knows that he has a crooked deacon on his board, and that pastor knows that the man's crooked, and he knows he's not what he ought to be, if that pastor doesn't deal with him, I'll guarantee you God will hold that pastor responsible for it. Now, you can mark it down. You can mark it down. It is the business of God's pastor to see to it that the deacon board is clean. Men filled with faith, filled with wisdom, filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the pastor is sick, or when it's an absolute necessity for the pastor to be out of town, he should never be compelled to invite a visiting preacher. He should call on one of the deacons. Any deacon should be able to stand before the church on Sunday morning and preach a gospel sermon. A man full of faith, full of wisdom, and full of the Holy Ghost can preach. Amen. He can teach. Amen. And when the pastor goes away for a revival, or he's called away because of some need, that is, he's forced to leave town, he should not have to bring in a man from out of the city or invite another pastor to come in. Call on one of the deacons. Amen. A deacon is a man that is apt to teach and preach, a man that is filled with faith and filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, the first deacon, Stephen, was such a man. And we'll find the rest of this chapter and the next chapter most interesting as we study the life of this first deacon. Now then, I said what I have just said to the pastors. Let me say this to the deacon. My friend, if you're on a deacon board, if you are a deacon in a church, and you're not a Christian, you're not born again, if you're a deacon and you know you're not saved, if you're a deacon and you know you're backslidden, if you're a deacon and you're worldly and you curse and drink and gamble and go the places of the world, I'm going to tell you, you'd have been better off if you'd have died in the jungles and never had heard the name of Jesus Christ. If you are on a deacon board and you are living a wretched, miserable life and you know that you're not what you ought to be, and you know that a deacon is supposed to be a man filled with faith, wisdom, and the Holy Ghost, a man apt to teach and preach, if you know that, and you know it, if you don't know it, you haven't read your Bible. And if you're a deacon, and you know that you're not living that kind of a life, you'd have been better off if you'd have been born in the jungles and you had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the man that knows right and yet he does things worthy of stripes, that man will be beaten with many stripes. But the man that did not know, he did not know, and yet he did things worthy of stripes, that man will be beaten with few stripes. So God have mercy on a deacon who knows what he should be, and he knows he is not what he should be, and yet he won't repent. God have mercy on him. God pity him when he stands before God Almighty. Then I want to say to the dear pastor, God pity you, preacher, if you have a crooked deacon on your board, and you know he's crooked, and you know that he's trying to run you off, and you know that he's trying to split the church. God pity you, preacher, if you don't deal with him and get rid of him, withdraw fellowship from him. If he won't get right, withdraw fellowship. God pity you when you stand before God. Father, help us to hear these solemn warnings from thy word. God, have mercy on any deacon listening to my voice who is not living the life that a deacon should live. Save somebody today, reclaim the backslidden, and bless believers for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Now, Dr. Green has finished his teaching us for today, but I do still have a few moments left to share with you our new gift offer for this week, Gift Offer E. The letter E is in excellent, is all you need to ask for to receive this offer. Now, what's in the offer? Well, first of all, a beautiful album of Christmas music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, then a 2-CD set containing a Christmas message by Dr. Green, as well as another album of Christmas music, and finally, a 4-page tract built around the Christmas theme, of course, by Dr. Green. And all of this is available to you if you simply ask for Gift Offer E and send along a donation to help the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. Now, please send more if you can. If you can make it $20, $25, $30, or even more, I urge you to do so. Pray about it. ask the Lord's guidance, and do as He directs. But if you can send a donation of at least $10 and ask for offer E, then I'm going to send you these three items. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas music. And sometimes even in June or July, I'll all of a sudden start thinking about a beautiful song like Silent Night, Holy Night, and start humming it to myself. So I never get tired of Christmas music. The first item in offer E is Great Tidings of Joy, an album by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, beautiful Christmas music, 12 songs plus a beautiful medley. The medley is What Child Is This? It Came Upon the Midnight Clear and Silent Night, a beautiful medley of those three songs. Some of the other ones is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Silent Night, Holy Night, There's a Song in the Air, What Child Is This, and Joy to the World, and so on. Then we have Celebrating His Birth in Sermon and Song. Now, the first CD has my dad's message, The Gift of God, and another CD filled with Christmas music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and a very special version of Silent Night with a reading of the Christmas story by my dad. Finally, a four-page tract, A Gift for You by my dad. I'm going to send you 5 copies, and I urge you to order more to hand out in your community. So, to get all of this, just ask for offer E and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.